VentureCast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
With yoga, for me, this trainer pointed it out that my spine was starting to curve. And he said this was the onset of scoliosis.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? Really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I wouldn't be too worried about it. He's like, I would just start doing yoga. He's like, start really strengthening your spine. And I'm like, okay. So I told my mom. My mom got this yoga tape. Like a cassette.
Yeah.
And his name was Rodney Yee. He was this Asian yoga instructor that was all about the spine, and it was all about like posture and like things like that. And a lot of the yoga video was done like on a chair, like just like certain movements. And I was intrigued by it. And I kind of kept going down that rabbit hole. And then the first time I started getting into some serious hip openers in a class, I'll never forget this. I was on Long Island. I was in Stony Brook, the town over from me. The same kind of town, like basically where I grew up. And I was in this yoga class and I was getting into a hip opener, the pigeon pose. And I burst out crying in the class. Because my hips are very tight spots that hold a lot of emotional tension. Okay. And I had gotten into this position and it's just like literally was a gateway of flooded emotions and it all came out. And I just burst out crying for no reason. And the teacher came over to me and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, I just kind of looked at her and she's like, did you have a moment? Did stuff come out? And I said, yeah, it did. And she looked at me and then she smiled and like, I acknowledged it. And I was like, okay. I was like, now wow. I understand, you know,
what a powerful moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really cool.
Welcome, fellow Leshes. Come on in, pull up a bar stool and enjoy some cocktails with Dimples and the Beard.
Welcome back, fellow Lushes, to another episode of Cocktails with Dimples and the Beard. Tonight, we're talking to Felicity Feline. She is a drummer, yoga instructor, nutritionist, model, OnlyFans model, lots of things. She's gorgeous.
We'll get into it all because
she's
can't
a great
name
musician
all,
and all that good stuff.
I don't know how you name it all.
So before you go the rest of the way.
I wouldn't say pause to go check her out because I would say first, subscribe. Like, leave a comment. Please leave a comment.
Say the who sucks.
Say it. You want to start with him? You want to go? You want to go? All right, let's talk.
No, I don't want to fight you. You got
a comment. Give us a like. Go to YouTube. Give it a like. Instagram, all that good stuff.
You got that cop mustache. You'll fucking step or put your knee on my throat.
Don't fuck with the stash.
Yeah. All right. So.
With further. Wait, nope. She's not there.
She's not in the waiting room yet.
Cannot wait. This is going to be fun. I was hopefully it would be awesome to see her play because she is I'd like to see her play, not really saying they don't.
I wore this shirt because I'm hoping she'll be like, great band.
Yeah.
Because they are some good.
So did I. I wore this to say, I hope she says great band.
I hope she says, who's the dork? Who the fuck is the dork?
You know what the question is going to be.
Oh my God. Look at all of that. You did good, son. What does that say? Inspirations.
for her drummer. Let's see what she says.
Keith Moon?
At her age, maybe not.
She's too young for Keith Moon.
She might be.
Yeah.
But if she's a true drummer addict, she would.
If she says Carter Beaufort, I'm going to get a
big old boner. Which is great.
Yeah. I will be
one of the greatest.
I will be a happy boy.
Which he's right up there. I mean, obviously, it's hard. Like everything, generalize the greatest of all. Well, they have different styles, so whatever.
There's no such thing as greatest of all time in anything. Correct.
That's my point.
Unless you can just, I mean, unless
they all play the same thing at once, and then you critique them at the same thing.
I think there's the greatest of all time in hot dog eating contests. That's very bare. You know, you either ate eight or you ate 12 or you. So, but in anything else.
Okay, well,
subjective. Yeah. It's all subjective.
I mean, that'd be the only one.
Like the idiots who think that LeBron James is the best NBA player of all time just because he broke the fucking scoring record last night. He's been playing for 50 years. He was a 25-year-old at 12 years old.
I could break the scoring record if I played for as many years as he did.
No, you couldn't. If you played as many years in the NBA as LeBron did, you still wouldn't have a point.
There would that
you would have 0 points.
The fucking bench would have an ass mark of mine. Perfectly for 20 years.
How did he stay in the league for 20 years?
I would have the greatest.
You would have blackmail.
Ass print on every bench in every stadium.
Stephen A. Smith was on Andrew Scholl's podcast the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how there have been like players traded in the NBA. He obviously can't say who, da da da. But there have been players traded in the NBA because they were like fucking the coach's girlfriend or something. Yeah.
And there's been
players traded because they were both fucking the same chick and they needed.
Yeah. Well, I don't believe that.
Yeah, but he said, even the coaches.
Where did that go?
The coaches. Yeah, what?
LeBron, was he?
Well, because LeBron's in the NBA.
So it's just NBA and into fucking girlfriends and coaches' wife. Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. Great segue. It's a natural segue to go from the NBA to the greatest NBA journalist of all time.
I mean, wait, what?
Stephen A. Smith is the best NBA journalist of all time.
Okay.
I mean, there's never been anybody better writing opinion. I mean, whether you agree with him or not, he's the greatest opinion writer for the NBA of all time. So.
Not that his opinion's the best.
No, that doesn't matter.
But he's the loudest for sure.
He has more opinions than,
he has more opinions than everybody,
which is great. That's his job. He's supposed to have opinions.
I think he's the highest paid because he's made a great niche for himself.
You don't like his fucking opinion? Turn the fucking channel. Just 100%. Like this. You don't like our podcast?
No, don't turn the channel.
Stay right here. We
give
got
another try.
We got a hottie coming up. Stay right here. Hottie. Yeah. So
keep listening. Keep watching.
And
she's jumping on the computer.
Oh, just jump like this.
Probably.
That's cool.
A little bit of goal, but.
She'll be here.
Well, she will.
I've never been stood up before.
And on the podcast or the personal life?
I don't think I've ever been stood up on a date or a blind, you know, like I don't think I've ever been stood up on. I mean, I did enough, you know, online dating where I had to go meet people out and about. I never got stood up on one. I mean, I've walked in and went, no.
So you stood them up.
No, I never did that.
I
never did that. I did have two.
You know, you should never do.
I did have two dates in the same night, though. Online dates in the same night.
You should never keep a pretty lady waiting.
All right. Without further ado, Felicity Fila.
Meow.
That was, please edit that out. That's the creepiest thing I've ever heard.
You want me to do it again?
No.
No.
Hi.
No. How are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
We are fantastic.
Yeah. Obviously good, but. Wow.
Thanks for being flexible. I just got back from New York. I've had kind of a crazy last couple days organizing some stuff.
No, but look, anybody willing to come on and hang out and talk for a little while with us, we're fine. We weren't doing anything else tonight anyway. So
wow.
Nice shirt, COC. I love it.
I wore that just for you. I'm like, you know, we tried like for a while. We tried to go episode after episode without wearing the same t-shirts over. So it got tough.
Look, here, check this out. I'll show you. I got my
And her clothes are already coming off. Oh, you got some COC stuff.
You see it?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, right there.
I have a big one too. A big tattoo. Let me rephrase.
Yeah, let's rephrase
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ.
Because we already know the answer. Well, that's awesome. That really looks great. The whole
I'm actually getting that back. We're gonna fix that, my whole back. We're gonna do some weird like geometric outline with some blackout, because I don't love exactly what I did. It's just a bunch of my favorite metal bands, their logos, but I wish I had done something a little bit more like aesthetic with that space, you know?
Sure. I love tattoos, obviously. I could sit and talk tattoos all night, but
yeah, no, I finally just finished my left leg. That took almost a year.
Wow.
I've literally been getting tattooed every month for the past 3 years, like just finishing my legs, and you know, it's been a process. I've been getting tattooed since I was 16. It's insane.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I know. I mean, when I wear long sleeves though,
right? See, I know.
Yeah.
I won't touch, I'll never touch this area or my neck or my face or my hands, because I work sometimes like conservative health conferences. I went to school for nutrition. That's like my main background job stuff. So sometimes like when I'm working in health, I just kind of like to keep them hidden. And then, you know, we go to a party after and I'm wearing nothing. And like, they're like, holy shit, you're covered in tattoos. Like no one would have thought, you know, it's pretty funny.
So how'd you do
it's
with
the perfect trickery there?
Yeah. Right. How did you do with the, like the elbow ditch, and do you have the back of your knee done or?
Yeah, I have the back of my legs done. So when I was 20, I think, 20, I was on that show Ink Master, you know.
Really?
On that,
like, nice.
Yeah, I was a canvas, and 4 of the season winners tattooed me at the same time.
Holy shit.
It was fucking nuts. Like, I mean, I've had a pretty wild life, but like that was by far one of the craziest things I've ever done. And I sat through it sober, no numbing cream.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I met my ex on the show. He won the episode with his biomechanical piece. And
I remember that piece.
Yeah. This is Scott Marshall.
Yeah.
So Scott did that. And we started dating after the show. And then he basically did my sleeves. So by 22, I had full sleeves. I had a ton of ink done. And then I moved out to LA and I just kind of kept going.
Yeah.
So go back. When you said 4 at a time, was it like literally one arm, both arms, both legs at the same time?
So this guy right here.
Yeah.
This lion right here.
Okay.
Oh my God.
And then.
Not like one after another.
No. They were all doing. Yeah, they were all tattooing her at the same time.
Shout. Go ahead. Yeah. Show. Yeah.
And then my two calves.
Holy. Oh my God. The calves at the same time.
Do you remember who the four? Do you remember who the four artists were?
Yeah. Joey Hamilton was
okay.
The lion.
He won the season.
Yep. Scott Marshall. He won the other season. Oh God, I forgot the names.
Oh, these were all people who won their respective season.
Yeah. Like literally it was head to head, the 4 season winners.
Okay.
Wow.
Against each other. Like it was wild.
Wow. I'm going to go back. I got to go back and find it. I love that show.
How did you get picked for that? How did you, win?
I didn't get paid. They just gave me free tattoos, you know, but I mean, given like, hey, I probably got like $4,000 worth of free tattoos on me, you know? So right? Like, I wasn't complaining. I was 20 years old, you know what I mean? Like, like, I'm not going to complain about free ink. And at that point, I didn't really have, I had some stickers on me, you know, I didn't really have like great stuff on me. So I was pretty ecstatic that I got that opportunity. Yeah. It was
absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. Wow.
Okay. But how did you sit through that? How much pain was that?
Oh my God. I mean, looking back, seriously, I don't know how I I don't know how I dealt with it at that point, because now at 30 years old, I need numbing cream. Like I do not want to sit there without numbing cream. Like one of my really close friends, he's my tattoo artist and he's a musician and he's one of my best friends. And like, I like to talk with him and hang out, you know, and catch up every time we tattoo. So I don't want to be focused on the pain the whole time. So I found a really good numbing cream from this brand. I think they're from Australia, but that really works. So like, I just cover the area with it and then put Saran wrap over it for like 45 minutes and I don't feel a thing. It's amazing.
Oh, okay.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Okay, so you put it on and wrap it up before you go in and then...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it really sinks into my pores, you know?
Cool.
But that wasn't really an option like back in the day. I mean, even like the past like 10 years I've been getting tattooed, it wasn't really a thing.
Yeah.
The numbing cream wasn't that good. So yeah, I mean, I sat through that.
Did you take breaks?
I had to go to the bathroom, I think like twice, but they were just kind of like, you got to get this done, you know?
The problem with having four artists is sure, one of them may want to take a break for a little bit, but the other three probably don't. So you're never going to get a break where they're all gone at the same time.
I know. No, like they just kind of jammed it out. It was like 4.5 hours, I think.
Oh my God. I'm in pain just thinking about it.
I'd have pretended I had like some hot spicy food the night before and spent like 20 minutes in the bathroom. Just
oh my God.
I'm going to go hide.
Well, nonetheless, I mean, they make for a great episode and they look beautiful.
Oh, thank you. No, I was really lucky that I got that opportunity. It was very, very cool, you know, and it was funny enough. I remember when I got the phone call from the network that they chose me for the episode, I was at the AVN Awards in Vegas for my first time. Nice. Like I was there for the first time ever. And, you know, I was in a suite like with all these porn people. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh shit, I'm getting on television. I'm going to get on a tattoo show. And it was just like, bam, like life changed. You know, it was so funny. It was a really crazy time, but
wow.
Sounds like things happen quickly for you.
In certain ways,
yeah.
I mean, like it kind of ebbs and flows my life, like you know what I mean. And I never felt like there was like some point or peak that happened. It was sort of just like a gradual ebb and flow throughout the years, but kind of happy it was that way because I had to get, you know, it took me some time to like get my shit together in my early 20s, like organizing, saving money, doing all that stuff, you know, and figuring out like what I really want to do and who I am, you know, all that. So
sure,
I'm hoping to figure that out in my early 50s.
I mean, people spend their whole lives doing it.
Right,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Some never do it, and I know I won't, so it doesn't matter,
right? So
that's fun.
How'd you get started playing drums? I gotta start with the drums because you are unbelievable on the drums.
Oh, thank you.
I could sit and watch your Instagram clips and YouTube videos of you drumming all day long. I love it.
Actually, I have a little another. Oh. Yeah, I just grabbed this kit. A second, my kit's a DW. It's in my studio, but I just bought this from my friend because I think I'm gonna set it up like a little jazz kit or something. Cool. So I wanted another kit, but so yeah, I started playing drums when I was in elementary school.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, we got to pick an instrument and I picked percussion and I was kind of a tomboy growing up. Like I was very rowdy and wild and had a lot of energy. And my mom really pushed the school. Like she called the school and asked directly to put her daughter into percussion. And so they got me in. Yeah, because, like, you know, because all the kids want to play drums, you know, right? Like, it's like always, like, one of the instruments that's chosen quickly. But, yeah, so I started playing in fourth grade, and I just loved it. It clicked with me, you know? Like, I don't know if it's – I'm very athletic. I've played sports and been a gymnast my whole life, so I'm just very aware of my body. I have a lot of bodily awareness and control, and I think that – the drumming just sort of adapted naturally to me and I loved it. It was just such a good outlet growing up as a kid. And so I got a private teacher like in middle school. He taught me how to play on the drum set. I just kept playing throughout school, elementary, middle school, high school. I was in every band you can imagine, marching band, symphonic band, jazz band. Like if there was a band, I was in it. Like that was the only thing I cared about in high school. And then in college, I played too, you know, like in some ensembles and then bands and stuff. But yeah, and then I moved out to LA.
When was that?
I moved out to LA around 21, 22 after college. And that's when I really started playing metal.
Okay.
So yeah. So like 8 years ago is when I started to really get into more of a playing metal specifically. And like, I taught myself double bass and started kind of like getting my grooves back, I guess.
Sure, sure. Were you a metalhead at the time? Were you listening to that kind of music?
Yeah, I mean, I should say this. Like, my dad is a music fanatic. Okay. And he's not a musician, but he's just a music fanatic. You know, he collects music. He grew up, my family, like, we kind of grew up with a lot of classic rock, you know, Eric Clapton, Beatles, you know, all that stuff. I got more into like the psychedelic stuff. I got more into Pink Floyd and Cream and King Crimson and Black Sabbath. Black Sabbath was kind of like a gateway for me because I remember it was dark and I liked it. And I started kind of exploring more. And then I got into like prog metal and I found like Porcupine Tree, you know, and so like I started to kind of bridge that, and like Dream Theater, who was actually from Long Island, where I'm from.
Okay.
And so things like that, right? So like I started to kind of branch from psychedelic rock into more proggy metal and then metal. And then Opeth was like the holy grail for me. Like when I found Opeth, I fell in love with just their discography of music, you know, because they kind of do prog and black metal and so metal for me was a really awesome exploration, because like that time in my life I had a lot of anger and a lot of darkness, like working in the adult industry, you know, getting bullied, like all these things like that were kind of building up inside. It was such a good outlet for me to kind of like vent through.
I'm definitely get a lot of rage out in a little bit of time.
So was it that got, you know, drove your rage to keep going further into harder music?
Yes. I mean, for sure. I like to challenge myself a lot. Sometimes I even do it subconsciously. I feel like sometimes I like don't even realize I'm making my life harder for myself than it has to be, but
we all do it.
I hear you there.
I know. Sometimes I should stop doing that. But with drums, I was really intrigued by metal drumming because there's like this level of intricacy, you know, that has to happen. Like the syncopation, the tempo, everything has to be tight. Yeah. It has to be tight. Because if you're off, everything is fucked. And everyone knows. And right. Like, I kind of like that pressure. I don't know why. Like I felt like if I can do that, then I really have self-control. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, that's what I was kind of going for. And I just wanted to like really build and build and build my stamina and get very comfortable, like doing double bass and like more blast beat stuff and faster things. But I love sludgy, heavy stuff too. Sure. So I kind of like to combine it, you know, it's like that prog metal kind of isk mix with psychedelic rock and sludge. Like that's like what I'm really into.
So how exhausting is it? Like, I mean, you guys play a half hour, 45 minute show. How exhausting is that for you? Like by the end of that show, I would imagine you're beat.
It's pretty tiring. I have a lot of stamina, you know, and I don't drink caffeine all the time. Like I literally save it for days when I know I need to be doing high energy things. You know, I'm not the type of person, I don't wake up and drink coffee. Like that's not me. You know, other people, like they have their little rituals. I don't drink caffeine barely ever unless I have to. Like I look at it more like a vice. Like, okay, I have to work a conference today. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to have some caffeine. Or if I'm playing a show, I'm rehearsing, I'll take some caffeine. So yeah, I'll utilize the caffeine before I play drums. And then I'll take some like nootropics and amino acids. And I'm really into nutrition. So like, I try to think like brain-wise, what's going to help me focus really well. And so I'll make like a little pack of some supplements for me to take prior to the show. And then when we get there, you know, I don't do any drugs or drink or anything before I play.
Okay.
I strictly party after.
Nice. Okay.
That's like always my rule, because I have really fucked myself by breaking that rule.
I was going to say, do you have a bad experience of like being drunk or high and you just like mad about your, you know, the show that happened or something?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not a huge drinker, to be honest. Like if I do drink, it's just clear tequila or gin or vodka, like on the rock. Like I'm like very like straight clear liquor. Like that's all
there
I want.
There you go. Cheers. Yeah, like, tequila on the rocks for you right now.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, like that's how I roll when I drink. Cause I detox it fast. I don't usually get sick. Like, you know, it's like when I mix stuff or do, you know, seltzers or shit like that. Like that just, I don't like it. I don't fuck with that stuff. So yeah, very simple, clean liquor I'll do. But then I'm really into psychedelics. I love mushrooms, acid, ketamine, MDMA. Like that's more my speed. I don't touch blow, you know, like I don't like stimulants, you know, because I barely take caffeine, right? So stimulants to me are just not my vibe, because I don't like things that mess up my neurotransmitters and my serotonin and everything. So I stay far away.
Technical here. Jeez.
I know.
Sorry.
No, I like it. No, go ahead. I like the twist on it, you know, when you're talking about it. Things I would never think about with all those things. So this is great.
I get very gritty. but yes. Yeah, so, I mean, I've been able to really maintain like very stable head, I guess you could say, throughout the years of working in different industries, because I really, you know, just didn't get fucked up a lot. Like I just, I have fun and I like to have fun, but I'm very aware about what I'm putting in my body. And if I want to party, like I want it to have purpose, you know, and for it to have meaning. So I've avoided drinking like for most of my adult life, you know, and I just save it for various, very special occasions.
Yeah, sure. But
I'm more of a psychedelic person. So like, I got to kind of tell myself, nah, you know, you don't need to do ketamine or today, you don't need to do mushrooms today. Like I'll save it for a float tank or save it for a massage. Like, you know, like that's kind of more my vibe. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just blowing my face. with my oil sheets, but
hey, that's all right.
Have you
we gotta have first time.
Have you done the ayahuasca thing yet?
You know, so I got invited by several people to ceremonies to do it, and I haven't done it yet. I just like, I don't know, I didn't feel called to it, you know what I mean?
I do. Yeah.
And I've watched some people have some pretty crazy trips. Like, I mean, I've seen a grown man shit himself and throw up at the same time. Like,
so have I, but I didn't have
ayahuasca. I mean, you know, it happens. Like, it's part of the process, the cleansing and everything. But it's been a very wild year for me, and I just didn't really feel like I needed to have that experience.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. Like I've only used mushrooms like 3 times and I love it. But the ayahuasca thing intrigues me, but I'm with you. Like you need to be in the space and be ready for it. But it's not something you just want to go and, oh, it's Friday night, let's go do ayahuasca, right? Like, so
yeah.
You got to have the right mindset, I would
think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
I think you've got
Sunday maybe.
You have to kind of know what you're looking for going in and why you're doing it, and you know, it's not just one you just do for you kind of, you know. So I hear you. Yeah.
No, totally. Exactly. And like, you know, they're very powerful too, those psychedelics. Like they can really alter the way you see things. And so I try to save it at points in my life, like pivots, you know, where I feel like I really need help, like getting into a different direction, or questions that I have that I need answers to, you know, usually like maybe tail ends of relationships or the beginning of relationships. Like that's when I seem to have a lot of revelations and things. Like even when I A few years ago, I got out of a relationship with this touring musician, and it ended very, very badly. And I was pretty depressed and down for quite a while. And I started really getting into microdosing mushrooms. And then, you know, on certain days, like I would gradually, I would increase the dose. So I had like more of a, not like a full trip, but it helped me get over so much stored emotions that I had that I was really avoiding dealing with, if that makes sense. You know,
I mean, so how does that? I've never had mushrooms, so that's why I'm curious. How did it help you with that? Did it release those emotions? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. So it allows you to release it, and then gives you sort of this safe space emotionally and mentally to kind of let things out. I swear it's like therapy.
You
feel like you're like in this comfortable zone where you can just allow your emotions to come out and say how you truly feel. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people too with MDMA experience that, like they're using MDMA for therapies and stuff for people that have PTSD, and it really helps people, you know, because of things that they would never want to admit or things that they have trouble expressing. But you know, I mean, I'm a very open person to begin with, but there was a lot of things that inward, like looking at myself, why I was attracting certain people into my life, like why I wasn't setting certain boundaries, like things, like questions that I hadn't really asked myself enough. And then like the mushrooms like brought it to the surface. And then so like during my trip, I'm like, wow, this is why. You know what I mean? Like, so it exposed me to the truth that was in myself, but I kind of had to dig a little bit to get it. So like, I feel like mushrooms are really good for emotional breakthroughs.
When you take them, those emotions come to the surface and you release them, are they able to keep them gone after that?
Yeah.
As opposed to rehashing them?
So. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, for me at least, a lot of it's just kind of acknowledging it and understanding it. And then like, once it's out, it's like, well, you know, it's free. It's just the ghost in the wind, you know? And I don't like to carry, I'm not very peace with my demons and everything, you know, like I don't like bad karma. I like to be very on top of my soul. Like, what am I doing? Do I feel like I've not done well to someone? If so, like, how can I correct this? Like, you know, like I'm always looking for answers to kind of keep my equilibrium in balance.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe that's because I went to Catholic school till fifth grade, and I had like this innate religion background that I didn't want, you know, like my parents put me there, you know, whatever, they're doing thinking they were doing the right thing, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I don't regret like being a Catholic school kid, but it's like, I remember in fifth grade, I finally, like, mom, can you please put me in public school? Like, I just want to experience public school. So I went into public school, and I just like remember thinking back about like the religion years, and they really taught me about moral conscience, like, you know, how you treat people, and like how even Catholics, like there is like this way of karma about it, like do onto others as you'd like to be treated. So like I really try to live by that. Like, I'm not a religious person at all. I'm very spiritual, and I believe in like the universe and energy and nature and karma. But yeah, it's just my own religion has kind of given me my twist on my own spirituality, you know?
Sure. Yeah. So what brought you to the nutritionist and yoga field? How'd you get started with that stuff?
Yeah. So,
and at what age was it?
I'm very blessed. Whereas, you know, my family, I'm from Long Island originally. My mom's
did you have more of an accent before you moved to LA?
You know, I don't know.
I was going to say, you don't really sound like a Long Islander. So I don't know. Maybe you lost a bunch of it.
Yeah, I've kind of dissolved it over the years. I didn't really have a super thick accent, but then like I really wanted to kind of dissolve it because I knew I was going to be you know, doing a lot of like film and stuff and things like that. Like I didn't want to like be pigeonholed because I have a Long Island accent.
Sure.
So, I was very, like very aware about it. It comes out with certain words, but yeah, I mean,
does it come out when you're feisty too?
Like, yes. Yeah. If I say like water, you know, water or dog, you know,
okay, there it is. Yeah.
Laundry, like the stuff like awe. It's like this, like the awe.
Yep.
And it comes out.
Nice. Just elongates it a little bit.
Yeah, cool. A little bit. Long Island.
Yeah, sorry. Exactly. But I mean, I was very lucky growing up. Like I grew up on the North Shore of Long Island, which is very rural. Like it's very suburban, rural. There's a lot of farms, there's a lot of vineyards, there's a lot of beaches, forests, you know, like nature preserves. So, you know, when people think New York, they think like New York City. I grew up nothing like Manhattan. Like I grew up with like beaches and the woods and rivers and a farm and the vineyard, you know, like, so I was always outside, always in nature, always running around. Like I love nature for that reason. It's like my solace. Like I love being outside. I love being in the trees and rolling around the grass. Like I need that because that's what I did as a kid. And my grandpa was a forest ranger. So we would always do like trails and hikes and stuff as kids. My parents have a cabin up in Maine and I've been going to Maine my whole life.
Beautiful up there.
Yeah. Maine is like unbelievable.
Wait, I gotta ask this. I got this right the last time we talked to somebody. I'm guessing you have older brothers.
I have one older brother.
Okay.
Yeah. I have an older sister and an older brother.
Okay.
But and then my parents have a place in Florida. So like I'm blessed because my parents are very hardworking, successful people, and they gave us a really good life. You know, we weren't spoiled growing up. They just were very, you know, they gradually kind of started making a better life for us, like as they made more money and got higher placements in their jobs and everything. So I had a very positive childhood, and my mom loved to cook. She's very Italian. She lived in Italy for a while.
Oh, delicious.
She teaches Italian at Stony Brook University, the college that I went to. And so she loves to cook. And she's not super like strict about food in a sense, but she cooks healthy. Like we always ate well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's always a good quality protein, salad, carbohydrates. Like she had like very a very good foundation of health, like there,
which pasta.
I mean, she did cook pasta, you know.
Bread.
But you know, the foundation was there from my childhood, so like that's very fortunate because a lot of people aren't able to have that. Right
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I, though, and my brother, we used to have horrible eczema.
Okay.
Like on my cheeks, behind my ears, my neck, my hands, like, oh, it would just be really annoying. And I had a lot of stomach issues when I was a kid. I was very gawky and skinny. Like I couldn't really gain a lot of weight.
Okay.
And my mom like didn't really know what was going on, you know? And so we ended up getting blood tested, allergy testing, and we saw that we were celiac. So my brother and I had very similar things going on. So we cut out gluten and lactose out of our diets.
Okay.
And that pretty much eliminated the eczema.
Oh, wow.
It was really interesting. And so all that inflammation like went away. And I was really fascinated with my body. And like I guess just being an athlete and being around nature so much, I was just very curious of like how, what you ingest and like what you do to your body, like how it affects your health. You know, I was just very, very interested in that.
Yeah.
And I was always into like herbs and making teas. And I just gradually started getting like really into nutrition and like started studying just kind of on my own. And then the celiac thing, it was kind of like a blessing in disguise because I realized like, wow, here's a direct example of how direct correlation, like you put this food into your body and it has an inflammatory response. So what is that saying? Like your body does not want it. Therefore, like, oh, I'm allergic or like I'm intolerable to this. So it really is important what you eat, you know, like what you put in your body has a very significant effect about how you feel and how you look. So I don't know, like as a kid, it just fascinated me. Yeah. So I just would read books and go to seminars and take classes, like anything I could to learn about nutrition, I would do it. And then, you know, I decided to pursue it in school. So that's kind of like my nutrition thing. Cause I was really in the process of healing my own body. And I made a lot of mistakes like in my own journey, especially in my early 20s, you know, cause like I went vegetarian for a long time, which was terrible for my body.
Yeah, I went raw I've heard that, vegan. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I went raw vegan for a couple of years, which was detrimental to my health. I mean, I knew what I was doing and I was taking all the supplements, but like, I was not thriving as a woman. You know, I wasn't fertile. I wasn't getting my menstrual cycle regularly. My skin wasn't as good. Like there were certain aspects that like, I knew this is not right for like the human body, you know? So
was that because you were, wasn't giving your body what it needed?
Yeah, essentially. I mean, like I'm not getting like these bioavailable nutrients that I needed. And because, you know, you can get certain nutrients from plants, but they're not as absorbable and bioavailable as animal nutrients. And so once I started around 25, I finally realized, I'm like, you know what? I think I've been denying myself like the truth, you know, and I had sort of kind of like some revelations, actually, and some of them involved psychedelics, like when I had these revelations, because I remember this specifically. I've always felt very connected to cats, felines, you know, I definitely feel like I was one in my past life and I have a lot of Leo in my astrological chart. And I, had this sort of vision in one of my trips where I was a cat and I was a carnivore and I was like devouring this meat and I felt like vibrational, like I felt healthy. I felt whole as I'm eating this meat.
Okay.
And I came out of it and I'm like, what have I been doing? Like I've been eating plants. Like I'm not an herbivore.
Yeah.
I'm an omnivore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, I'm not a fucking cow. Like I'm not a grazing animal. Like I'm a human. I have teeth and claws and, you know, like I'm supposed to eat meat. I'm an omnivore. So that, and then I just started really getting into like studying animal biology and nutrition and looking into like organ meat and collagen and bone broth. And I'm like, what the fuck have I been doing wrong? You know? And so I started hardcore, like eating animal organs, taking capsules, taking collagen, taking bone broth. I started gradually eating meat again. And I immediately felt 10 times better. Like it was literally like,
oh. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. You know, that came out of the mushrooms. That's awesome. That's crazy.
Yeah. Like I was like, you know, I was all right. Like I was, you know, raw vegan. I thought I was healthy. I'm like, you know, I'm super light and skinny and detox and I'm just going to eat my fruit and vegetables. Like I thought I was all healthy, but no,
no.
My body was yelling at me, eat meat, eat meat. And I finally, like, I took it and it was like a light switched on. Like my hormones, everything. Like I felt so feminine. I felt so full of life. Like once I started eating vegan, it was amazing.
Yeah.
What's the best for you? I mean, like red meat, chicken, pork. What did you find was best for you?
Personally, I eat a lot of red meat. Like I do a lot of grass-fed beef. I do a lot of venison, elk, moose, like whatever I can get.
Heard elk's really good for you.
I love elk. Yeah. I mean, I love lamb. I love beef. I mean, I eat red meat almost every day.
I do love lamb.
Now, are you slicing up the raw liver like the Liver King?
I was just going to ask if you've heard of the Liver King.
Yes. So I buy, and it's a bit hardcore, you know, but I don't do it for taste. Like,
sure.
I'll be honest, you know, like I don't like the taste of the raw liver. It's kind of nasty. But I take, I do two things. I do the capsules, and I can send you guys the link to the brand that I use.
Sure. Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah, it's called Ancestral Supplements.
Okay.
They do nose to tail organ supplements from grass-fed cows in New Zealand. But they do beef liver, you know, tallow, collagen, like every organ you can think of, they encapsulate it. So you can just take it like as a pill. And you're getting, you know, obviously it's not as good as raw,
right?
But like it's still good. Like you're still getting an ample amount of nutrients. So I do that, especially when I'm traveling. But then
that's a good point.
Yeah. Like with traveling, because I travel a lot, you know. So
yeah.
You can't take that, raw liver in the carry on.
Oh God, can you imagine?
is that not the hardest thing when you're on a certain, I don't want to say diet, but you know, way you eat when you're traveling? I mean, it's the worst thing. You can't stick to it.
I mean, honestly, I like do fine when I'm traveling. Cause like, I just pack all my supplements.
Well,
I pack, you know, protein powders, collagen, whatever, like, you know, electrolytes, like whatever I need. And I can mix in water. I can make my own little drinks. And then I kind of just, depending on what I'm doing, where I'm going, I'll like Google where's Whole Foods, you know, like where's the grocery store. And like, I'm very minimal. Like I do fine when I'm traveling, even like when I've toured with bands or like with my ex-boyfriend's bands, like, and we're on the road, I like end up being, I lose weight on the road because I'm just kind of like, yeah, okay. I'm
a little more minimal. And you're burning 20,000 calories a show.
yeah, no, exactly. But I never have problems traveling, you know, because it's like, honestly, that's when the supplements really kick in, because it's like, okay, this is what they're there. They're supplementing your diet, like especially when you don't have access to the primary food you should be eating. So
the big thing there is dedication, not dedication.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Like the thing is, what I tell any of my clients, like when we're on Zoom calls and everything, I can't make the decision for you. You know what I mean? It's like, I can't tell you to go to the store and get some beef liver and chop it up every day and eat it with some water. Like, I can't tell you to do that. You got to do it. But when you feel the effects of like how your diet and the food you're eating like affects you and the differences you notice, that should be worth it enough for you to want to adopt that into your lifestyle.
So I'm curious about nutrition and mental health, because I'm on antidepressants, and I'm curious, do you feel like changing nutritionally, you can deal with that without medicating?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Good.
That's yeah. Good. 100%. And I mean, I'm not going to tell someone, oh, get off your pill right now. But like 100%, so many psychiatric and mental issues are caused by nutritional deficiencies.
And I certainly have a ton of nutritional deficiencies. So
I think it goes back to what you were saying. She could tell you what to do, but you got to do it.
You got to do it. Right.
Yeah. Well, I mean, case in point, like when I was vegetarian, I had much more anxiety.
Okay.
I had skin issues too, because of like the lack of nutrients that I was getting, and it was affecting my blood sugar. Like there was all these factors, but without those valuable nutrients that I was getting from meat, I was basically not getting the nutrients that my brain needed.
Sure.
And like, if your brain is suffering, you're going to have side effects. And like, what are the side effects? Anxiety, depression, not being able to sleep, you know, like all these things. And so people think they have these problems, and it's like, no, you're actually just, you got to change your diet. Like you got to eat better food. Yeah. You got to give in your body the nutrients it needs, so it can do what it needs to do. It's like, you know, your car, your body's a car. You got to fuel it up and give it what it needs, or else it's not going to run.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, I try to be simplistic, like with nutritional advice, you know, with my clients and friends and everything, but everybody is different, you know, essentially.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think, and some people can adopt a more vegetarian diet and do okay. Like there's, you know, some people that they feel better that way, but I have definitely noticed that when people are eating primarily good quality animal proteins and limited processed foods, that their health just increases.
Yeah.
Did you see any correlation between going back to the brain and everything, like Alzheimer, the effect of Alzheimer's? Like, I don't want to say people that are vegetarians get Alzheimer's more than, but is there any sort of connection?
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, people don't want to hear this, of course, but especially pharmaceutical companies, but yeah, 100%.
Okay.
I mean, okay. One of the main compounds, one of the main antioxidants in beef, like CoQ10, it's good for your heart, but it's also very good for your brain and memory. Like that, that antioxidant, like a lot of people with dementia are deficient in that. And then also just like fatty acids in general, like omega-3s, which are primarily in fish oil or beef, you know, or animal, like not plant-based. Because if you get like omega-3s from plants, they have to get converted into the form that's usable in the body. So when you're eating just plants, you're preventing your body like from getting the forms of the nutrients it needs. Like, so not only are you not getting enough of the nutrients, but you're also not getting the right form of it. So like you're putting all this extra work on your body, and that has a lot of side effects. And some people too, like they get really bad gas when they get vegetarian because they're doing all this extra fiber and cellulose that like your body can't even break down. But yeah, so much disease is just caused by nutritional deficiencies. And Alzheimer's too. I mean, my cats or my dog or something. But,
something just went running through.
Well, we'll get into those in a second. I'm curious what you have, but go ahead.
Also, because like with Alzheimer's, there's myelin sheath that's like on the nerve cell, right? Mm-hmm. So when the brain is interacting with a nerve, like they're sending information back and forth, there's the myelin sheath is kind of like the barrier. So when an electrode like goes up and is trying to pass through the myelin sheath, that is made out of fatty acids. So if you don't have good health, like from your nutrition, that myelin sheath breaks down. And that's what is the beginning of Alzheimer's. Those myelin sheaths are gone. So like the electrodes, they don't properly get to the neuron and they're like start firing off in weird ways. And people, they can't communicate with their brains like the way they were. So I mean, not to get super nerdy, but like, it's just that.
I love it.
But so literally, your cells, like every molecule in your body is made out of the food you eat, you know? So like that's why like you have to remember, if you want a good life, like if you want to live vibrant, if you want to be healthy, you want to be happy, you want to feel great, you got to eat good food, you know? I mean, because otherwise like you're just going to be essentially the outcome of your diet.
You are what you eat, right? There's a reason it's been... I'm curious, what advice do you give to people who are vegetarian for ethical reasons?
Good question.
Like they're not going to change. So is there enough supplements that vegetarians can do to make up for it?
There are, for sure. Yeah. Okay. And I mean, like I have a lot of clients that don't want to eat meat and they're like, no, like, you know, I understand what you're saying, but I just don't want to eat it. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. We can work with it. If they don't even want to eat like the organ capsules, like if they're like not, they just don't even want to have animal at all in their body. That is something too that, you know, we could work on, but I just have to tell them like, look, if you want to do this because you have your reasons for protecting animal life, which, you know, I support, like I'm not, you know, I love animals. I really do. But at the end of the day, you know, higher food chain, we're predators, like it's just the balance of nature, you know? So like
I agree.
It's just, I'm going to eat the herbivores that just, you know, it's just life. But for people that don't want to, there's things like, so, but then I have to explain to them that in certain situations, some of the nutrients that you're taking are might not be as absorbable as the animal form. Right. So like, say this is a, I made an Instagram post about this. I got to make more about these, but a perfect example is vitamin A. Okay. Fat soluble nutrient, very important for skin, membranes, eye health. There's two forms of it. There's retinol, which is the active form that's readily available for the body. That's in egg yolk, cheese, whole milk, even some meat. Right? So you're going to get that strictly from animal foods. Beta carotene is the other form of vitamin A. That's a pigment and an antioxidant. And that's what makes oranges orange and carrots orange, you know, all that. So that's like the color, beta carotene. When you ingest all those carrots, that beta carotene has to go through a conversion in your body and use other nutrients to assist in turning that beta carotene into retinol, just so it becomes usable in the body. When someone eats a pound of carrots, they're like, oh, I'm getting all this vitamin A. This is good for my skin. Technically, not really, because it depends how much you absorb. I mean, there's other benefits to carrots too, right? Like electrolytes and potassium, and it's hydrating, but the vitamin A that people are talking about, it's bullshit, because it's like, it's really what you're absorbing from it. And that might be a really low percent. And the same thing with iron. Like, there's two forms of iron, heme and non-heme, right? Meat, beef is heme, readily absorbed like by blood cells, red blood cells. The non-heme iron, that would need the assistance of vitamin C to help break down that form so the red blood cell can absorb that non-heme iron. So like plant-based iron is not as absorbable. Mm-hmm. And it could actually make sometimes people more sick, that form of it. Hmm. But so like, I would have to kind of explain that to them, you know, that like they're kind of making their lives a little more difficult by going this route, but we can still get you the nutrients you need. It's just, it might not be in the most bioavailable form.
Sure. Sure.
So, you know? So can I ask, you keep talking about, and your clients. So is there, are you taking clients? Is there a way to reach out to you to hire you as a nutritionist?
Yeah. I mean, I do so many Zooms and Skypes. Like, that's kind of, in person sometimes with California people, but sure. Yeah, Zooming. Yeah. I can send you all like that info, health history forms and stuff. And yeah.
And real quick, where would somebody listening would reach out to you for that?
Just on my website, felicityfueled.com.
Okay.
There should be the contact box, but, or just felicityfueled@gmail.com. But yeah, just go to my website. Like, everything will be on there.
Awesome.
I would imagine anybody listening, like myself, intrigued by everything.
Right. Well, I am too, because like I said, I mean, not only for, I've been, everybody we talk to who's does stuff like this or Spiro, I'm always looking for something to, because I've been on Zoloft now for, I don't know, 7 years, and want to get off, but am afraid to get off. So
I hear you.
Yeah. I'm always looking for something.
I mean, it can be frightening. Like, you know, a similar thing that I've personally been through, and also other women that I've worked with, like, is birth control. Like, so many women have been reliant on birth control their whole lives, like, to keep their hormones regulated, and they're afraid to get off of them, because like, once you do, it's like, oh shit, like, I'm gonna go crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I was like yo-yoing with birth control in my early 20s, because I wouldn't get my period without the birth control. And that's when I was shooting porn too, in the adult industry. So I was very insecure about all that, and I was afraid to go off of it, but I knew deep down in my heart that the reason why I wasn't getting my period was because I wasn't eating the right foods. You know, like, I was too thin too. Like, I'm like probably 127 now. I was a buck 10, 110 pounds.
And how tall are you?
And I'm 5'5".
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Or 5'5", 5'6", you know, but sure. Like, yeah. So it was, my frame was way too thin. It was not good. And so as soon as I just came to terms with the fact that, like, no, this is my diet. Like, this is definitely my diet. And I fixed that and started giving my body like really what it needed. Everything just started falling into place and like getting back together. And then, you know, I use certain supplements and herbs to like help assist the process move quicker. But I am a very strong believer that the mind body connection can heal. And if you really have an intent to heal your body and to get better and you give your body the tools it needs, like it will succeed.
Yeah.
You know,
if you could advise people on, I'm going to start taking one supplement. You can talk me into one supplement. What's the one supplement you would, recommend to somebody? Or is that way too broad of a
thing? Yeah, I was going to say, is there a one?
It is very broad. It is very broad. But for you, like a male, I would say beef liver.
Yeah.
Mm. I would say maybe start taking beef liver. Yeah.
The funny part of that answer is it looked like you struggled to call me a male. It was like,
I don't blame you. No, I don't blame you at all.
I was struggling because I was going to say, I didn't want to say older male. And
no, that's okay. Definitely older.
We're going to go with just struggling with a male. We're good with that.
Not like, like high school kid male,
No, long ways from that.
But like an older man. Yeah. That, for sure, like beef liver, because it has a lot of just overall benefits.
Okay.
Energy helps hormones, helps mood, but it's just so rich in nutrients that it can start to fill in gaps.
Like
in
sexual energy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, beef organs are really good for naturally increasing testosterone too.
Perfect.
And this is, we can get these through the, what you were just talking about before, the link that where you get yours. From New Zealand, right? Or correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The okay. Ancestral supplements. Yep. I'll send you guys this info.
Awesome.
So I assume yoga was just kind of a natural extension to the nutrition stuff. I mean.
Yeah. So I mean, like having done gymnastics and everything, I was always very athletic. I was in great shape my whole life, because I just was really active. If I wasn't playing sports, like we were running in the woods and playing outside, like I was just a very active kid. I'm very muscular naturally. That was one insecurity I had growing up as a kid, like in high school into college. I struggled at one point, and this is when I started to get into psychedelics. I struggled a little bit with the idea of like, I'm a woman and I have a lot of muscle. Like, strong, I'm muscular, like, and I want to be sexy. Like I want to be beautiful. I want to be a goddess, but like, I'm also very strong. And like, I want to be fucking, tough. And so with yoga for me, this trainer pointed it out that my spine was starting to curve. And he said, this was the onset of scoliosis.
Oh.
And I'm like, what? Really? And he's like, yeah. He's like, I wouldn't be too worried about it. He's like, I would just start doing yoga. He's like, start really strengthening your spine. And I'm like, okay. So I told my mom got this yoga tape, like a little cassette.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his name was Rodney Yee. It was this Asian yoga instructor that was all about the spine, and it was all about like posture and like things like that. And a lot of the yoga video was done like on a chair, like just like certain movements. And I was intrigued by it. And I kind of kept going down that rabbit hole. And then the first time I started getting into some serious hip openers in a class,
sure.
I'll never forget this. I was on Long Island. I was in Stony Brook, the town over from me. Like the same kind of town, like basically where I grew up. And I was in this yoga class and I was getting into a hip opener, the pigeon pose. And I burst out crying in the class. Because my hips are very tight spots that hold a lot of emotional tension. Okay. And I had gotten into this position and it's just like literally was a gateway of flooded emotions and it all came out. And I just cried. Like I just burst out crying for no reason. And the teacher came over to me and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, I just kind of looked at her and she's like, "Did you just have like, did you have a moment? Did stuff come out?" And I said, "Yeah, it did." And she looked at me and then she smiled and like, I acknowledged it. And I was like, okay. I was like, now I understand, you know,
what a powerful moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really, really cool. And I mean, I had always kind of felt things like that, like from stretching and gymnastics and soccer. And like, you know, it's not like I wasn't not familiar with like the aspect of yoga, but the whole practice of like going and deep breathing, and it started to become really useful for me because I have a very high anxiety life, I guess I could say, you know, like my life is not, there's a lot of stuff going on in my life, like moving parts throughout the years that I have to be able to manage my stress, or like my lifestyle could eat me away. You know what
sure.
I mean?
I do.
So yoga was sort of like that outlet for me that helped me center myself, calm down, get in touch with my body. And, you know, whenever I'm like teaching class or I'm working with people, I tell them like, it does not matter how flexible you are. It does not matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you know. It's just about getting to know your body. Like that's what you're here for. Fuck everything else. Like fuck all the yoga people on Instagram. Like you're here because you want to get closer to yourself. Like that's what we're here for. So if there's a pose, like, you know, you can't go into all the way, that's okay. Like we're going to work towards that, but you just want to explore your body and like see what your body's telling you. So that's kind of,
I think that's where a good teacher is really important, that they wouldn't push you to get to those poses if you couldn't do it. Just as you said, do as much as you can. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. You know, it's like, I think it's hard because sometimes like there's certain things I'm a pusher. Like I push myself sometimes like to the point where I'm like, oh shit, I kind of push myself too far.
Sure.
But you know, so I have to be careful. I don't do that to people, like with students, especially. Sure. So I always try to act like more cautious than too much, because I did that a couple times where like I put my hands on people and like press their hips down to like open them up, and they're like, ow, you know, and like, oh, too much, you know, and I'm like, oh shit, you know, and like, I don't want everyone to be in that position where like I'm hurting someone. But I like the pain sometimes, like in certain stretches, because sometimes like I have to just, sometimes, not always, but like sometimes when I really am getting into a deep pose, it hurts a little bit.
Sure.
For like a moment, because I'm like stretching out that ligament in a way where it's like, okay, I'm going further than I should, but then it relaxes.
Yeah.
So it's like that breaking point. That kind of fascinates me a little bit. And I don't know, maybe that's like my connection also with like drugs and psychedelics, like where I like to cross portals and found, you know what I mean? Like I like to explore, I like to explore my body. And like, that's kind of what yoga helped me with.
Well, when I got divorced, yoga helped me through my divorce. I took it up, I don't know why, on a whim, and the teacher was awesome. And it explored my body, my mind, and it just gave me an outlet during that time. Awesome. And I wish
you banged the teacher, didn't you?
I gave it up for I don't know what reason, and I haven't gone back. It helped my anxiety. It helped everything. It helped me get through it.
Good. I mean, the thing is, like, you don't even have to go to a class if you don't want to. Just like you know, you have a TV, like go on YouTube and just literally like type in hip opener yoga, and like you'll get like 500 videos of hip opening, you know?
No.
You can do it in your living room.
You can. I know I went and like bought some DVDs and I think I quit the class. But I didn't do it. It was the schedule, got to be there. I paid for it. I got to get there. And I loved it.
I hear you.
So that's me. Not everybody. To your point, everybody's different. Somebody could do it in their living room every day. But I couldn't. I needed a scheduled class. And
remember when you said I wasn't dedicated?
Yeah.
There you go.
I was for a while, for a good year I did that.
I totally hear you. I mean, like the discipline aspects, you know, sometimes it's like hard to remember. I struggle with that. Like, I think it's one of my biggest things I struggle with is time organization and just every day, like doing certain scheduling, like getting a routine, you know, sometimes it's hard for me because every day is different. You know, it's not like, I've worked a lot of 9-to-5 jobs throughout my life. Like I've worked at studios and health clinics at specific places. And I like that stability. I do. But then I also get kind of bored sometimes. And I'm like, I want to work for myself. Like I can make more money working by myself. You know, I don't have to work for this company.
Sure.
But then I have to just like take a whip and be on top of myself because no one's telling me what to do, you know? Right. So it kind of, there's like cons to both.
So is that when, at what point did you say, I want to work for myself? And I want to go back to you were at the ANVs or
ABN.
I fuck things up all the time.
I was at the DMV recently. Unfortunately.
which seems like a lot of fun. I mean, just going to the award show and all that stuff. So how did you get involved with that? That really seems like a...
I know. It was a wild part of my journey, to say the least. But it was kind of unexpected, in certain ways. Going back to childhood, right? Being athletic, like I was very just comfortable with myself, like having all that bodily awareness, right?
Yeah.
My sexuality was like very strong as a kid. Like I just remember when we would play like Lion King and I'd pretend to be a lion, like I'd always be like very just affectionate and cozy, you know, like I was just very expressive and I didn't really understand what certain things meant like when I was a kid, you know, but as I got older, I realized I'm like, oh, I have a lot of like sexual chi, if that makes sense, you know, like I have a lot of arrows, like I have a lot of sexual desire and function and I had a lot of good self-control over it, but it's just because I was healthy, like I was vibrant, you know, and I think when healthy people are in tune with themselves, like your sexuality should be healthy too. You know, like you should have that fire, but you should have control over it.
Right.
So in high school, I had some insecurities like with my body at points for sure. Cause I was skinny and muscular and I was very flat chested in high school up until I went on birth control. Because I wasn't getting my period.
Okay.
They put me on birth control to jumpstart my hormones. And within like 4 months, I went from being flat chested to having seeds, which is a big jump, right? Like that's like a big difference. So that was very uncomfortable for me. Like when I was in high school, it was very weird.
And it's a weird time, right? With boys all of a sudden, hey.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
We're pigs, especially in high school, we're pigs.
Totally. And like, I just started to kind of understand like a different dynamic of myself, you know? And when I was getting into college, that's when also, I want to bring this back to music and yoga too. That's when I was getting into yoga. I was getting into dancing, really into dancing. And getting into also electronic music. I started listening to more like techno and bass and like different type of electronic music because I would dance and I'd go to like raves and parties. And so I became more comfortable with myself, like dancing and letting go and moving my body and then the yoga too. So that plus like me getting more comfortable with my body, I started to explore modeling. And I was doing a lot of modeling and I then got offered to dance at a strip club in New York. And so I did that and I was good at it. And it was very,
Did you have any hesitations to dance the first time somebody asked you?
You know, I was really curious. I was really curious because my family is very conservative. And I grew up in a really conservative town.
Yeah.
And I kind of just wanted to see, like, I had this fascination with like outlaws and the other side and like outcasts of society. Like, you know, I don't know if you can see this painting, the Hunter Thompson. I have a Hunter Thompson painting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I was like obsessed with Hunter Thompson as a kid. I loved his writing. I loved the Gonzo style. You know, I loved his idea of being a part of the story. And I was curious to know what it was like to be that type of woman that gets adored sexually by men. Cause like, I didn't really have that as a kid. Like, you know, I was pretty cute, but like, I wasn't like, you know, the cute cheerleader. I was like the nerdy drummer athlete girl. You know what I mean? So I wanted to just like get into a different realm, like with my feminine energy. And I was curious. And so I was in college and I tried dancing and I didn't love the atmosphere. I didn't like the smoking and like dealing with people and shit like that. But I made money and it was really easy. And I was like, wow. I can literally like use my body and my brains to just use men. It sounds kind of sad, but like I was just like getting money so easily from these men. And
we are easy, aren't we? When you're manipulating us with your brain and your body, we're in that environment.
Yeah. You know? And so I was kind of like, wow. Okay. So I got kind of fascinated, like being this, like just learning how to manipulate people essentially. Like I'll just say it as it is. Like, that's what stripping is. It's like the art of seduction and manipulation. Like, like a good stripper, like will understand that, like, you know,
100%.
It's like, you know how you have to know how to manipulate men in the right way. Cause like you want to be their friend and be sweet, but then also like, you know, be kind of like, okay, like where's my bills, you know? And so there's like this fine line. And I learned a lot about that in that world, like in working in Manhattan. And so that was like my first introduction. And then someone told me about webcamming and I tried that with like a few friends. And it was kind of fun. I just remember like being nude and like in front of cameras and like doing stupid stuff and making an account and being like, oh, I could make money this way. And then I was doing nude modeling. Like I was taking pictures and getting paid to just model nude. So I started
were you still in college or is this?
Yes, this is still in college. This is this is like 18, 19, 20, pretty young, you know? Okay. And, so I was definitely like exploring a lot about that type of stuff, you know, and that's when I was like experimenting a little bit with like psychedelics and I was just learning a lot about myself at that point. And I finally had some freedom, I guess, you know, like I wasn't living with my parents. So like I kind of could just do whatever. And I was just kind of exploding with curiosity. But then I got a offer to shoot porn. And the video was Girls Do Porn, the company that they're now getting sued. Like they're now in a whole lawsuit. Cause they leaked a bunch of information.
Oh shit.
About women. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it is what it is now, 10 years later, but,
it's odd that a porn company is shady, but go ahead.
That's the least of it. But yeah, I just, you know, I got approached, I got kind of scouted. I was like working an event. I was this car girl at a show and I was handing out trophies. I was in San Diego and some guy came up to me and he said that he had a friend that knew he had a company that shot first time girls only. And it was a porn company and that it was only going to, foreign clients, like so people in the US, it wouldn't be on the internet and all this stuff. They paid $2,500 for your first film. And I'm like, whoa, okay. You know, like I was curious. I'm like, you know, I've done all this stuff. Like that's not that much further than what I've already done. And I wanted to buy this new motorcycle. And I got impulsive and you know, he gave me his card. I flew back to Long Island and a couple months later, I called him up and I asked him like, so what about this? And, you know, and he got me set up and they got me tested and flew me back out to California, to San Diego. And I shot this film and I've made specific videos, like talking about these experiences. Yeah. But like, so I won't like get into the whole thing, but yeah, it was just, it changed the course of my life after that, because once the company lied, obviously, and it was on the internet. And once that got out, everyone in my hometown knew, everyone in my family, everyone that knew me, that knew my brother, that knew, everyone knew. And it was just horrible. Like, it was very, very bad. And my family was very upset with me. And it was just, it was right before the Ink Master too, like I went on Ink Master. So there, that whole year was kind of crazy because I thought I made a huge mistake. I like tried to bury it. I was embarrassed. I thought I was a loser. You know, I'm like, oh my God, what did I do to my family? It was like the biggest regret of my life. And as time went by, I realized, and I was dating Scott, the tattoo artist at this point, and he was very upset with me, like that I had shot porn and whatever. And I kind of realized too, because before I started dating him though, I shot a couple of more scenes.
Okay.
Because I started getting more offers. But when I was with him, I started to realize that I'm never going to be able to hide this. Like it's done. It's out there. Like this is a part of my identity now, you know, like everyone will associate this with me. I mean, so maybe I should just embrace this.
It's the best way to do things, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, and Scott and I were pretty much going to break up. He was actually an alcoholic and addicted to opiates. It's pretty sad. But a few months later, after I moved out, he ended up passing away. And it's sad, but like he kind of was on that path. He was on that trajectory. And I was very young at the time, you know, so I kind of told myself, well, sink or swim.
Like at this
point. So I decided to just move out to LA, and I was getting a lot of offers by companies, bigger company named now, in the bigger adult industries, bigger adult industry companies started reaching out to me about shooting. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. Like everyone's going to talk shit about me. Everyone's going to say what they're going to say. I've already done it. I'm just going to make the most out of this.
Go all in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because at that point, it's like the more I've tried to fight it, the more people bullied me with it. And the harassment just wouldn't stop. So I was so sick and tired of it. And I'm like, I'm not going to let these motherfuckers like ruin my life. So I'm going to take advantage of this. I'm young. I'm beautiful. I'm sought after. So like, fuck it. I'm going to do it. And it wasn't what I really wanted to do. It wasn't like that wasn't the trajectory that I saw for myself. But like, I felt like I didn't really have another choice. I mean, I could have, right? But then I would have been miserable. So yeah, so I did it. I took the leap of faith. I sold everything I had on Long Island. I moved out to LA pretty much at like 21, 22. I was finishing school. So like I was taking trips out to California. I was trying to network, make friends, you know? And then by 22, I was officially done with school. I was there. I was living there completely on my own, no family, and I had to figure it out. So I just like saved my money and got my shit together. I stayed out of trouble. I just shot, I worked, I played drums, and I just kind of kept on that trajectory. But I always kind of kept my distance from the porn industry. Like I used it. Mm-hmm. It used me and I used it. I used
Good
it
for you.
Money. You know what I mean? Like, because like I really don't support that industry very much. There's a lot of fucked up things about the industry that people don't really think about. I've made a lot of videos about it, like especially like the health risks involved and all these things. But I managed to really get by unscathed because I made good decisions, you know, and definitely got taken advantage of at points and witnessed some horrible shit with people. But like overall, I kept my head straight and solid. And then at 25, that's when OnlyFans came out. And other sort of self subscription platforms. So I realized like, oh, fuck this. Like, I don't need to work for other companies now. Like I can make my own content and sell my own stuff and own
bet on yourself. That's the best thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So I made an OnlyFans and then gradually just started building that up. And I was making, you know, after a couple of years, I was like making the same amount like that I was working for companies. And then, you know, I got my yoga teaching certification. I got my nutrition license. Like I put myself through school. And I just kept going, you know, and I'm like, you know, fuck the porn industry. Like, fuck them. Like, there's no health insurance for people. They don't take care of the performers. Like, it's just, it's very, like, it's the Wild West. When
you yeah. Oh, sure.
You know, and so it's like, they'll chew up and spit you out, not even think about it. It's just constantly recycling new people. Like, people don't care, you know? So you got to go in there. If you're going to go in it, do what you have to do, make a name for yourself, make money, and then figure out how you're going to use that to continue to grow.
Have an exit plan.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause a lot of young women and men, unfortunately, they end up heavily escorting. They end up addicted to drugs. Like, they end up, or maybe, you know, they get a sugar daddy and like, that's it.
Yeah.
But if, well, I was just thinking, as you're telling your story, I'm thinking, must have helped you that whole time not doing drugs, as you had talked about before. You might have done your dabbling in your psychedelics, but
yeah,
doesn't seem like you're, you know, doing the every day.
No, not, and especially not in my early 20s. Like, I really got more into psychedelics, honestly. Like, I'm 30 now. I got more into psychedelics at like 27. Like, that's when I really started kind of like feeling mature enough to have more spiritual journeys and things like that. Cause in my early 20s, I think it would have just kind of messed me up a little bit, you know?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So I tried to just, I was very simple in my early 20s. Like, I'd, you know, drink a little bit once in a while. I'd, you know, I smoke some weed or eat a little bit of edibles, but like, I was not into doing drugs at all. And it's sad because so many people in porn are addicted to Xanax. They're smoking meth. Like, they're, you know, it's just, they can't do it and function and be sober, you know, which is the sad part. Cause it's like, why are you doing this? You know?
Right.
I learned a lot.
Going to that first year, the AVNs, was that part of taking control? What were you invited for?
So the second company I shot for,
after you moved to LA?
No, I hadn't moved there yet. It was Exploited College Girls. Yeah. That was the male performer in that scene had invited me to the AVNs and paid for the whole trip. Oh, and
so you used him.
Yeah. He asked me to be his date. Cause like, you know, we shot a great scene and, he asked me to go, and I'm like, yeah, okay. Like, sure. And I just remember that was a very nice experience because I got to see all these other people that didn't give a fuck. Like, they're we do this too. You know, we have sex for money. Like, welcome to the club. It was almost like, fuck all those people that give you shit, you know? And so I felt like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I can be free. I can be myself. But I never really felt that connected to those people though, but it was kind of liberating just to see other people not giving a fuck.
Yeah. You know, so many of them.
So there's aspects of the adult industry that like I've appreciated, you know, like people embracing their bodies and just not giving a fuck. Like, I like that, you know, like I like going to parties where there's, you know, adult parties and like people walk around naked and they don't give a fuck. And then like people just do whatever they want to do. Like, I like that.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just have fun. Like, let's just be ourselves. Like, who gives a shit? Life is short, you know? But then there's other things like, you know, porn and addiction and just the aspects it has on relationships, like the performer's health, like all these things that also are very important to think about and people should know. And I really, really think the porn industry needs to be heavily regulated, like big time. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they should raise the age to 21. I think they should be doing a lot more about how easily it's accessed. Like, I think that porn companies should make users upload like an ID to show that you're legal age, because these young 100%. Kids are getting addicted to it. Like, you can literally be in school and popping up fucking Pornhub on your phone. It's so bad.
Yep.
You know,
and you grow up, the young kids grow up thinking that's the way sex is.
Yes.
Right from the get-go.
Yeah, it's changed everything.
I realized that it was, and this was obviously years ago, my son, I remember he went to I yelled at him. I was like, hey, what the hell? You know, you can't go on porn. He's like, what are you talking about, Dad? Well, he was on a wrestling website and they had a link to it.
Oh my God.
So I thought he was looking at his, and he probably was, but doesn't, you know. He played dumb, but through this wrestling website, two clicks later, there was porn. And of course, who attracts to this, you know, the WWA or whatever it is.
Wrestling.
I know.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Like between like
social media. That was years ago.
You know, yeah. And it's just progressively getting worse because they're normalizing it. Yeah. Which, so, you know, and I'm not against, like, you know, sex workers deserve equal rights and all that.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. You know,
but like, they should have regulations and they should realize that like porn is very addictive. Like it's like a drug. It changes brain chemistry, you know, and young men that are like very vulnerable and they think that like this is normal, like how to interact with women and like watch this virtually constantly. It's not okay. Like they don't know then they don't know how to properly develop like sexual relationships the right way. So that's scary. And like, I also have guilt sometimes, like for contributing to it, you know, that's why I'm so active about speaking out about it because I've been through it firsthand. I see what it does to people. I've seen what it does to women. I've seen what it does to me. And like, I can't not be quiet about it. Like I have to say something. If I don't say something, who else is going to do it?
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
well, it means more coming from someone that's been through it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I try to look at it as like my experience in the adult industry definitely happened for a reason. Like I think that I was someone that, like Hunter Thompson, you know, had to like get in the story and be a part of it for a little while and learn about it and witness it and be like, oh, wow, this needs, other people need to know, like, you know, we need to make change from this. So yeah, that's kind of my mentality about it. And like, so I all feel like between the health and music and the adult stuff, it's all intertwined in its own weird fucking way in my life. Yeah. but
you have a lot of very interesting stories that all
absolutely
end up coming together.
Never ending. Yeah. That's for sure.
Before we let you go, we got to tell you this,
thank you.
We were on the phone with somebody. And he wanted us to give you a shout out. This is a
personal owner of a podcast company that we signed with.
Oh, okay. Is
Peter, Rafelson?
Well, you said Raffleton? It too soon.
What's that?
Raffleton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're supposed to talk to her and see if she could guess who it was. Oh. We fucked it up right away.
Oh, well.
Sorry.
Peter says hi.
Yeah, Peter says hello.
Hi, he's my friend.
Yeah. By the time this comes out, we will officially be on his network. So
awesome. He's great.
Yeah. We were talking with him and we said, well, we really need to go because we need to get ready for you to come on. And I think you just said the first name.
All I had to say was Felicity, and he went, Feline?
Aww.
So, and he guessed it, and then he wanted us to give you a shout out
and to let you know, he told us you're an incredible drummer and a sexy beast. Those were his exact words. So
that is a quote. Aww. That is a quote.
He told Peter. Us we could say that, so we don't want to get fired before we even get started. So he told us we could say that.
Aw, thanks, Peter. Thank you guys.
Oh, thank you so much. This was a lot of fun. If you ever want to come back on, you're more than welcome because I could listen to you.
I think we've literally just scratched the surface of you.
Exactly.
I love talking. Like I could talk forever. I feel bad. I feel like I talked so much. You guys didn't even get to talk that much. But
that's the perfect podcast guest.
Let's just correct right there. We want you to talk.
Yeah.
Okay. Nobody wants to hear us talk.
Yeah.
I would love to come back. I have a podcast too.
We didn't even get to that.
I know.
There's so much we didn't get to.
I haven't updated it in so long because I was using Ableton to like make everything. And then I got a new computer and my Ableton didn't transfer. And like, I just like didn't get Ableton on this computer. So I'm going to very soon.
Okay.
When I do, I'd love to have you guys come on. We could do another thing.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then also it would be cool maybe if I could do one with my bandmate and we could talk about more about like constraints.
Fuck yes.
Oh yes.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
That's a double.
You guys
fuck
would
yes.
love him. And just like the conversation, like our story is pretty interesting, like being a two-piece band and Steven's whole perspective of like being with a female drummer that like has worked in the adult industry, and because he gets a lot of people like approaching him saying, yo, do you know what your bandmate does? And
oh my god,
like, and he's like, dude, just just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, right?
Best friend. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I don't know what she did. Come on.
It's so funny. It's silly.
That is 1,000% because I love your music. And what you guys put out an EP and like back in March or
Okay. Yeah, we have two out. Yeah, we're putting a new one out soon, probably within the next like hopefully like 4 months or something. But
awesome.
Yeah.
Well, let's try and incorporate something with the release.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy that you suggested that. We're 100% on board.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no, that sounds great.
For sure. So yeah, promote anything you want to promote now.
Yeah, your main stuff to go and we.
I mean, I feel like I talked about every little molecule in the world. I don't know. I mean,
where do they want to go? Where's the main thing to go see you?
Yeah, Instagram. I mean, you could go just my website, felicityfueled.com has pretty much everything. Instagram's felicityfueled, Twitter. So Facebook, that's all. It's just all Felicity Fueled.
And your YouTube page. Go to your YouTube page and subscribe to your YouTube page.
Oh yeah, YouTube too is great. I gotta start really building that more. I gotta make more better videos with that. But yeah, YouTube too. I got a lot of stuff on there.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. Oh, look at that. Oh,
she took a little nap now.
Yeah. I have two cats. I don't know where the other one is. And I have a Yorkie. He's down here. He'll say hi quick.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's right. We're going to, because you mentioned you had two cats and a dog. Oh,
we have had a lot of dog cameos in our episodes. We love the dogs
and cats. Yeah. This is the first cat?
Maybe.
I mean, it may be the first cat that stuck around.
Yeah. I think we've had cats walk by.
Yeah. Cats usually.
Yeah. She loves sitting up here.
Yeah. Cats rule the world. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I love cats.
I don't blame you.
I love dogs too, but like, I don't know. It's just there's something about cats. I've just always felt so.
Well, when you were one in a past life, you're obviously going to love them a little more.
Yes. So. No, exactly. Yeah. Awesome. Wait, where are you guys? Where are you guys based out of again?
We're in Wisconsin.
Okay. So. Oh my God. Okay. Well, so I'll update.
Tell me
you.
Constraints of Light is coming to Wisconsin.
Not Constraints of Light. I'm playing with Distorted Pony. They're hiring me. I played with them in the past before COVID, but they're like a
it's interesting. I saw some of their stuff. I had never heard of them. And I checked out some of their stuff. It's theatrical.
Yeah. They're like noise rock. It's kind of hard to explain, but they're a little older, you know, like they're from like the '80s and, we're doing a festival out there. We're going to Chicago and then we're going to Wisconsin. So I'll let you guys know.
Awesome. That'd be cool.
The name of the festival and we'll find out where it is.
Yeah. I gotta find out like all those details. Cause I'm like still blah.
Yeah. No, just shoot us a message when you find out and
we'll definitely come see you for sure. Yeah,
it's in the end of May for sure.
Okay.
Awesome. Oh, perfect.
Cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let us know. Love to see you.
Yeah, awesome. I'll let you guys know. But yeah, no, I like Milwaukee. I've been there a bunch of times. So I like Wisconsin a lot.
Cool. Awesome.
Well, I was born in Milwaukee and I love visiting, but I don't want to live there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's cold. It's very cold.
I know. Yeah, I'm ready. We were just in Belize and I'm ready to move there. So Yeah, it was beautiful. We spent a week there a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
good stuff. Oh, wow.
I want to go to Belize. I haven't been there yet.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I would highly recommend.
Highly recommend and affordable.
Yeah.
Just a great visit.
Awesome. Okay. I want to put that on the bucket list.
Perfect.
We'll get to know.
All right. Felicity, thank you so much.
Thank you guys. I'm doing a float tank actually in a little bit. So I will, I will talk to you guys soon. And yeah, I will follow you back on Instagram or if I don't, but yeah, then I'll, let's exchange info, like number on Instagram too. So I can just text you everything or whatever.
Perfect. All right.
Cool.
Sounds good.
That'll work. Thanks so much.
Bye guys. Have a great night.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for listening. The tavern is closed for now, but we'd love to have you back for more fun next time. Seriously though, get your asses out of here.
Mile, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the Wanna Bet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but Wanna Bet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electric Acid. Electric Acid.
Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over 4 decades and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Electric Acid.